Hello, welcome. Good evening. We are so pleased to have you here. I am Leah Lewis Henderson. I am your calm host tonight, and we are so thankful that you have showed up today, tonight, for Silk and Honey. This is the masterclass presented by Yaye Louisa Teach. Many of you have signed on early. We thank you for coming early in advance of the start of the call. We're starting promptly at 7:30 p.m., and so we just had a little interlude music to set the tone to get us ready for the wonderful teaching that Yaye has tonight. Yaye, I just want to make certain that you can hear me. Can you hear my voice?
I hear you, baby.
Okay, wonderful. So what I will do is let me share with you all what our agenda, our plan is for tonight. I will take a few moments to lay the foundation and to introduce Yaye and let you know some wonderful things that she has going on. Then she will teach for about 50 minutes on the wonderful topic, which is Silk and Honey, Rituals and Charms for Love and Money. And so who couldn't use more love and who couldn't use more money? But she's going to reveal some deep, deep, deep ancient wisdom that I'm just eager to prepare myself for. I have my notebook ready also. The other thing is after Yaye teaches, we will have Q&A. There will be about 15 minutes for that. And we want you to stay to the end of the call. This is very important. Please stay all the way to the end, because if you love what you're learning in the master class, you're going to want to hear how you can go further and how Yaye has more to offer you so you can continue this journey of learning, growth, development, and transformation at the feet of this wonderful master teacher. So I am your host, Leah Lewis Henderson. I am of Solutions to Grow. We are a professional business development company that helps visionary leaders like Yaye Teach, healers, artists, activists, environmentalists, prosper and flourish in their calling. You can learn more about Solutions to Grow at Leah Lewis, L-E-I-A, Lewis, L-E-W-I-S.com. Now, on to Yaye Teach. Yaye Louisa Teach is a Yoruba priestess. She is a teacher, and she is an author. She has authored numerous books, including the most well-renowned and bestseller, Jambalaya, the Natural Woman's Book of Personal Charms and Practical Rituals. She also is the leader and teacher of her new online course, which is the Spirit of Jambalaya Work Series, inspired by this best-selling, spiritually epic text, Jambalaya. Louisa Teach is from the beautiful, magical, and mystical city of New Orleans, Louisiana, yet she has made her home globally as she has impacted and touched the lives of people and communities of diverse backgrounds all around the world. Yaye also is a dancer. She studied with Catherine Dunham. She has studied with many prolific people and touched the lives of many people in her work. She is a priestess initiated to the Yoruba goddess Orisha Oshun, as well as to Orunmila. Yaye Teach has lived in Oakland, California, but again, she is making her home in New Orleans and has a great opportunity for you to visit with her there in her home of New Orleans. There's so much we can say about Yaye Teach. She is beloved. She is respected. She is esteemed by people of all backgrounds. And literally, we are right now in the presence of a living legend. So we want to thank you for being here. Without further ado, I am going to open the line. I'm going to give you the opportunity to greet Yaye Teach. And so,
Alafia.
Alafia. We are ready for you.
In those ancient beginnings, when the earth was well of all potential began to shape itself and move about in space. The rainbow children who emanated from the mating of Nana and Olodumare danced across the sky. Olorun, the owner of the blue sky, searched for his sister mate, Oduduwa, the great black earth. But he could not see her. So he called Obatala, the king of the white cloth, the clouds. Obatala moved his robes and produced a beam of clear light. From the lightning, Oya, the goddess of the winds of change, appeared. She danced in the hem of Obatala's white robes, lining the clouds in hues of purple and pink. A roar of thunder followed. It followed the lightning, and the sky burned a blazing red as Shango announced his becoming. A tropical storm raged in the sky as Oya and Shango made love behind the clouds. Obatala cast his light upon the darkness below and saw the surface of a watery depth. Dambala plunged himself deep into these waters and returned with an unutterable message rolling from his tongue. He could only curl, dance, and wrap himself around himself, then plunge into the deep a dozen times until it was understood what must be done. Obatala stretched his cloud body beyond the blue sky day and brushed himself against Mawu, thereby collecting stardust for the assignment he now intended to carry out. Lisa, the sun, wanting to participate further in this act of continuous creation, sent a glittering stream of golden light for Obatala's descent to earth. As Obatala surfed down the sun ray, Oya gave him a five-toed hen, dark as the night, yet spotted with the light of day. He dropped the bag of stardust upon the waves of the deep sea and let loose the guinea hen. She scratched and scratched until she created another dimension, a place for the gods to live. Dambala looked upon this work of theirs and plunged himself into the depths again. This time he carried a message that was understood by those who lay waiting in the deep, dark waters. From that watery womb came Olokun, the mudfish god, and Yemonja, the mother of the children of the sea. Riding a great wave into the light of day, they came. The crashing waves disturbed the sleep of Agayu, the volcano. As he stretched and yawned, hot lava flew through the air. Oya joined in this dance and sent it hurling for miles in every direction, creating forest fires that attracted the attention of the wild one, Ogun. Osain, the god of herbs, played tag with Ogun. They ran like little boys up and down the valleys, over the mountains, and across the plains, turning all green in their wake. There was so much activity, so much dancing. The wind sang in the trees. The water splashed a varied rhythm, and the thunder accented the changing tempo of the dance. At first, the deities stilled themselves as the scent of wildflowers and honey drifted softly on a gentle breeze. Then they felt something silky and smooth upon their skins. Now each deity moved in a brand new way, undulating as they wondered what was coming over them. The forest bowed as the sun's light brightened. Salt surrendered to sand, and sweet water cascaded down the mountainside. A chorus of birds sang in the sky. In the river, water lilies blossomed. The deities looked at each other with increased desire. What was this amazing thing emerging from the mystery of creation? As the river rolled across the land, gold dust sprinkled the air. And there in that mist appeared a wondrous sight. Black buttocks adorned in white cowrie shells, used to divine and as money. Curly hair, thick, long liana vines, bouncing breasts, glistening with honey. Eyes sparkling bright like the stars in the night. A sweet voice that beckons and thrills. Beauty and grace, an enchanting embrace, and a love that can cure and can kill. "I am Oshun," she said. "The blessing of Olodumare is in me." The deities understood and rejoiced now that love had come to be. Here is my rendition of the coming of Oshun among the deities. And you will notice that I have the deities of Yoruba land and those of Old Dahomey interacting together as we did before the British came in and divided us with invisible lines across the land, across the kinship systems, before the deities were demonized by foreign invaders. This is a remake of a story that reconnects us to our connection to nature through the Orishas. Because of colonialism and urbanization, for a long time, all of the Orishas, but especially Oshun, was denuded, was degraded, was locked in limiting symbolism. Tonight, I would like to set the record straight on who and what Oshun is and how her power works. It's taken a long time to reconstruct the legacy of Oshun because, like the force that she represents, in just about every culture, the goddess who represents the unbridled eroticism of nature is often made small, made insignificant, denounced, or degraded. But we are here tonight to set the record straight on who Iyalode Oshun really, really is. Perhaps you have heard people say, "Oh, she's just a little girl." She's just, you know, just a water spirit. She's just a black dumb blonde. We are here tonight to set the record straight on who Yeye Oshun is. Let us begin in a place that we can understand and relate to and work our way all the way back into the cosmos. Oshun is most often known as the goddess of the river. The Oshun River in Oshobo, Nigeria, specifically, but all the sweet water on the earth is her domain. Every river, everywhere, is part of her entourage. And when we look at nature, we see that although three-fifths of the planet is covered in water, most of it is salt water. Only 2% of the water on the face of the earth is sweet water, and 75% of the sweet water on the earth is locked up in icebergs. So if we take a look at how human, animal, and vegetable life is dependent upon sweet water, because you can only drink so much salt water before it'll kill you. If we take a look at how humans, animals, and vegetation is dependent on sweet water, then we come to see that Oshun is precious, that sweet water is liquid diamonds, that sweet water is something that we cannot live without for longer than 3 days without suffering. There's nothing insignificant about that. We're here there today to set the record straight about who Oshun is to the human being, to the animals, to the plant world. Oshun is often considered to be the rain and the sweet water, Oshun Doko, that moistens the fruits and the vegetables in the trees, the fruit trees, the vegetables that we eat, the flowers that we inhale. And in this time of ecological disaster, where we are experiencing the collapse of bee colonies, please understand how important honey, which is sacred to Oshun, is to our lives. Without the bees, there would be no cross-pollination. Without the bees, there will be no fruit vegetation. Without the bees, there would be no honey, that thing that makes life more than bearable. Her sweetness makes life more than bearable. Her sweetness brings in the joy, the sheer joy of being alive. We are here to set the record straight on who Oshun actually is. And as the goddess of wealth, let us not be deceived into thinking that wealth is just dollar bills, though she will bring you that too. She will bring you money. She will bring you jewels. She will bring you love. She will bring you creativity. She will also bring you unbridled joy, make you happy for no apparent reason. I am reminded now of a time when divination in my household said that that Oshun wanted to bring us unexpected joy. And from the Odu, we created a little song. Hey ayo ke wayo fumio. Hey ayo ke wayo fumio. Amio nile, amio lajo. Hey ayo ae ayo. And the song basically says, bring me joy, bring me joy. Let me have joy in the house. Let me have joy in the field. And for those of you who are in the tradition, it comes from Oyeku Meji. It's one of the verses in Oyeku Meji. And some members of my ile, we had gone to Nigeria. And we were standing outside the hut, feeling like we needed our spirits lifted, and so we started singing, Hey ayo ke wayo fumio, Hey ayo ke wayo fumio, Amio nile, Amio lajo, Hey ayo ae ayo. And we thought, bless our hearts, we thought that we had lifted lines from the Odu and that we had made up this song. And one of the elders, an old man in his 80s, he came running out of his house, and he said, very good, but you do not remember the second verse. And he started singing. He started singing what he knew to be another verse to that same thing, and it just bears witness to the continuity that is within us to create something, to think that we are creating something new, only to find out that it is ancient and that it is the inspiration of Iyao Shun that has held this knowledge together forever and presented it to us in such a beautiful way. Now, what was amazing, and what was so, so honey-like, when we created this song, we were told unexpected joy would be the result of singing this song. And a few wonderful things happened to me during that time. I was living in a house in Oakland, California that was a veritable rainforest. You know, I love lots of plants around me and tend to do wild gardening. And so my house was wrapped in morning glory vines. And I opened the door one morning and a hummingbird had made her nest in the morning glory vines, right where my door opens. How beautiful is that, to be greeted by a hummingbird every morning, and what a testament it was that she felt safe enough and welcome enough to make her nest not in a distant tree, but in the vines on my front porch, so that I could go out to my front porch and sit there and watch her. I know the hummingbird is one of Oshun's creatures. And as always, there are stories about the time that there was distress somewhere or a message needed to be taken, and all the other deities who think they're stronger than the small one fail at doing it, but then the little one does it. This is a recurring theme when we are talking about Oshun. A recurring theme with Oshun is her standing up for the underdog. When someone is suffering, Oshun will come in and soothe you with her honey. Oshun is all the joy that makes life worth living. She is color. She is texture. She is taste. She is smell. She is sound. She is feeling. And very, very powerfully, one of her greatest attributes, which has been downplayed, is the power of attraction. Now, good people, we have all had the experience of walking in a room and feeling the presence of someone else and knowing that you're attracted. Perhaps you don't know why, but you are nevertheless pulled in that direction, and whether it becomes friendship or intimacy, you're nevertheless attracted to that person. What is that energy between you and that other person? Those invisible honey trails, I call them, where it's as if somebody has dripped a trail of honey between you and that other person, and both of you have to lap it up. You just got to get to each other. Oshun enchants us like that. Oshun and her honey are not reasonable. We can't always say that we understand why we are attracted to someone or something. We simply know that we are, and we know that if we do not answer, respond to, and deal with that calling, we feel crazy. I maintain that the energy of Oshun is the power of attraction, not only in our bodies, not only the attraction between the insect and the flowers, but the attraction that holds atoms together into molecules. I want you to hear that very, very clearly, that her energy runs from the most basic thing, such as an insect being attracted to a flower, to people being attracted to each other, to atoms being attracted to each other enough to form molecules. This is no black, dumb, blonde. We're here to set the record straight on Oshun and her silkiness, the way she causes things to flow, the way that Oshun heals with plain water. It's often been said that when the doctor fails, Oshun heals with plain water. She heals barrenness. She heals troubled wounds. She heals difficult problems in sexuality and pregnancy. I have seen Oshun perform miracles, smiling, laughing even. Silly girl, you say. Let's take a look at the word silly. Actually, I'm told that it comes from an old Celtic word that means it was used to address a person who was so confident of their connection to spirit that they didn't bother to be disturbed by things that disturbed other people. And so when people would name me negatives, they would say, well, so what? You know, doesn't affect me. And consequently, they were called silly.
It's 20 hours.
But if you know the power of Oshun. Harpataki says, success is in your blood. You are born to succeed. You succeed by being clear with yourself, about yourself, about who and what you are and what you want and what you want to do. Now, I tell you, I have found that when it comes to the three goddesses, Yemaya, Oya, and Oshun, you know, Yemaya is Mama Big Tits. You can go cry to her and complain and moan and go on, and she'll stick a titty in your mouth and let you suck for a while. I have found in my experience, I don't bring anything to Oya unless I'm ready to have whatever I'm complaining about destroyed in order that it be transformed and replaced. And so between those two, there is Oshun. And what I have found is that best you come to Oshun with a plan for how you're going to handle your problems, for which you are asking her assistance, because she respects and responds to creativity and initiative and courage. And when you come to her with a plan, she responds with great generosity. So I always tell people, if you go to Oshun with something, go to her with a plan. Say to her, this is what I'd really like to have happen. This is what I'd really like to do. This is where I'd like to be, et cetera, et cetera. And always end it with this or something better according to your wise judgment. Because then this gives her the opportunity to express her generosity, her expansiveness, her ability to gift you. In the same breath, let me say very, very carefully that what is not appreciated is taken away. Let me say very, very carefully that when you go to her, think very clearly about what you want and what your plan is before you open your mouth, because she's known for giving you what you asked for. And then you wonder, did I really ask for this? Yeah, you kind of did. And most importantly, remember Iya's sense of humor. She has a very interesting sense of humor, and you know, my experience, an experience with her of her that I want to share. You know, I tend to, when I was younger, I'm going to put it on age. When I was younger, I was a bit of a drama queen, you know, and so I would go before my altar with grand statements. You know, Oshun, my mother, sweet waters of the world, generous queen, you know, because you do have a particular language that you talk to each one of the Orishas in. And I said to her, let there be a rain of abundance upon me. And I got on the bus in Oakland and saw an old boyfriend of mine, bless his heart, he's a Yaqui Indian man. I had great times with him. And he had a sack over his shoulder. And when he saw me, he jumped up, and it was like, mommy, so good to see you. And he went to take the sack off of his shoulder, and as he lifted it up, the bottom of the sack burst open, and it rained pinto beans on me on the bus. And I had to laugh because I asked for a rain of abundance. And beans certainly are abundant. And it did rain upon me. And it did come from somebody who loved me. And so, you know, you just have to watch her sense of humor because she will surprise you. Now, some of my elders have told me that Oshun is hard of hearing, and that's one of the reasons why we use a bell to call her, to clarify what's being said, to make sure that everybody hears, especially her, especially her. And then, of course, we have what happens on those rare occasions when she's offended, as she has been for a bit of a while, given human beings' behavior here on earth. We have for guidance Diodu Osheotur, which speaks of a time when the other Orishas came to earth with her and were trying to do the work of helping to shape the world, but didn't give Oshun her proper respects. And so in my version of the story, rather than getting too upset, Iya goes and sits on the moon and powders her face while the others get to recognize when there's no sweet water on the earth, nothing can grow, nothing can be made, nothing can be built, nothing worthwhile can be consumed. And it took them a while to realize that everything they were trying to do was failing. And finally, they had to consult with Olodumare, who asked, where is Oshun? Where is Oshun? And when they realized that they had left Oshun out, Olodumare called for Oshun, and they were all made to apologize. And I'm told by elders who did the translation, not only did she accept the apology, but she also said, don't let it happen again. And as a result of that, at a time when Oshun was the primary messenger to Olodumare, the one who took our prayers up to the Most High, at that time she turned herself in on herself, and out of that produced Eshuodata, her son, who now takes messages to the Most High. So Oshun, while she is beautiful and attractive and sexy and talented, she is not to be taken for granted. She is not to be taken for granted. There are dire consequences. When we pollute the drinking water, there are dire consequences. When we poison the bees, there are dire consequences. When we take our lovers for granted, there are dire consequences. When we misspend or deny our talents, there are dire consequences. And what I have learned, being her daughter for so long, Oshun should not be mistaken for silly or small or too young. She is the unbridled eroticism of nature, without which none of this existence would be worth living. So over the years, I have wrestled with people's misinterpretations of Oshun. You know, due to colonialism, there's a period when people would say, well, you know, Oshun is, you can't possibly be a child of Oshun. You're too dark. Oshun is a mulatta. This is a hangover from the colonial period when only fair-skinned women were considered beautiful. We know better than this now. We know that beauty is a light that shines from within, and that there are many, many shades and sizes for beautiful. We know that now. We know now that femininity is not weakness, and we have learned the warrior roads of Oshun in addition to the beauty queens and the lovers. I take great pride in telling people, you may see me sitting somewhere powdering my face, but beware that I rouge my cheeks with the blood of my enemies. Never, ever underestimate the power of Oshun. As you go forward, looking at the various stories about her, you will see that she is described as having, sexual congress with all of the male orishas except maybe Obatala. One of the things that we have to overcome from urbanization is having subjected the orishas only to the stories that accumulate as a result of them manifesting through various human beings. Understand that you, your life, and how Oshun flows through your life, you can become folklore. Your story, your relationship to her can become part of the folklore that this and future generations inherit. But never, ever make the mistake of limiting her powers as a goddess only to the example of a few people or a period in history or just a narrow particular dilemma, you know. Think about the fact that she is all the sweet water on the face of the earth that flows into the ocean. Remember that it is her sweet water that waters the crops and the animals on the plains and in the forest. That it is her energy that causes human beings to come together in community as lovers, friends, associates. That it is her energy that causes the atoms to come together in and form molecules of material reality. I want to tell you that it'll soon be 15 years ago now that there was an event, a bembe at my house, and one of the Oshun priestesses went into possession with Iya, and we were told that she was very, very upset with the way that we were treating the water of the earth and the way that women were being mistreated, especially little girls. We have to take care of our little girls. We have to protect our daughters. She also spoke to the business of people not having clean drinking water. And I know that in many, many communities, for the last 15, maybe even 20 years, there are people who have been putting prayers out, asking Oshun, first of all, to forgive us for having abused her waters. and asking her to help us. And since then, I have actually seen photographs coming from NASA saying that there are streaks of water headed to Earth, headed for our oceans, that they're not sure of where that water's coming from. I say that's Loshun answering our prayers. It has been found that there is streams of fresh water running through the ocean that do not end up being salt. How is that possible? I say that that is Oshun dancing with Yemaya. I see that human beings are becoming much more aware of what we eat, of how we treat the bees, and how we look at the things that are impacting our children. There's a strong stand of against violence toward women. There's a strong movement to stop child marriages and sex slavery. This is the work of Oshun. This is the work of Oshun moving through you. I want to take another minute. I've been talking a lot about honey. I want to talk for a minute about the silk, about wealth. What is your definition of wealth for you? You want to get very, very clear about what wealth is for you before you go to her and ask her for it. The wealth of my life has been the people I know. I have been blessed to be welcomed. Doors have opened for me that the average person never gets to walk through. I've been around the world twice, and I'm going to go one more time before I leave the planet. And everywhere that I go, the indigenous people, especially the mothers and the grandmothers, welcome me into their circles. They share their secrets with me. They teach me their songs. They let me participate in their dances. They introduce me to their forests and their vegetation. They wrap me in their beautiful cloth. We sit back. We suck on native fruit, and we laugh about the common experiences of women as mothers and grandmothers. And that is an incredible wealth of my life. Now, don't get me wrong. I love a full bank account. I love a closet full of beautiful clothes. I'm a fabraholic, if there ever was one. I boast an incredible library, and sometimes I think I have more art supplies than Michael's or Hobby Lobby. That is also wealth. But for me, being able to relate to all kinds of people in all kinds of places and being welcomed like a sister in all of those places by all of those people is my definition of wealth. In my lifetime, I've worked as a domestic, you know, as a maid, as a housekeeper, and I have met people who have six figures in the bank but are unhappy. They have mansions, but they're sitting in there with the windows closed. They have grand pianos and instruments that they never play. And the most exciting time of their day was when I came to clean the house, because they didn't want me to clean the house. They wanted me to tell them, what went on in your life today? For me, that's not wealth. That's money. You got money, but you don't have wealth. So you got to ask yourself, what is it that makes me feel rich? What is it that makes my life smooth and sweet? And when you get very, very clear about that, that's when you go to Oshun. If you have been raised in the culture of scarcity or poverty, where you think that you can only have wealth through corrupt acts that inspire guilt, no. Let's get very, very clear. There's a relationship between fertility and abundance, the fertility of your spirit, the fertility of your mind. Let that be abundant, and then take it to Oshun. And let us get very, very clear that every person born, as far as Oshun is concerned, every person born is entitled to love the way you define it. I want to read something to you that I wrote during a period of loneliness. I wrote this piece, and I want to tell you that Baba Agbola, who is one of my favorite Babalawos, during that period of time, he told me, he said, you know, Oshuniwa, loneliness is a demon that follows people around and haunts them. There's no reason to be lonely when there are so many of us on this planet at this time. So re-examine that. And I did. I want to share this poem with you. I don't think I've read it publicly before, but it was written many years ago. It's called Love Cried Back. I stood on the precipice between freedom and connection, looking for the light to brighten the dusky night, searching for the distant figure in the midst, reaching for the touch of tenderness that heals, that soothes, that satisfies, listening for the song that would lull me to sleep, cradled in a strong embrace. Awake me gently to the rhythm of hummingbird wings fluttering in the chambers of my heart. I called out to love, wondering with all the power of thought, feeling with every cell of my body, growing with each moment more and more eager to hear the question answered, love, where are you? Love, why are you? Love, what are you? I waited for a millennia for the echo to reach the highest peak I could stand on, and I heard nothing. I ran into the deepest hole the earth would provide, and I heard nothing. I begged the wind to carry my cry beyond the beyond, but no echo returned to me. And when there was nowhere else to go, no one else to ask, and nothing more to seek, I abandoned the search and let the question drop into the depths of the eternal inside. It was then and there, in that great silence, that finally I felt the presence. At last, I heard the response. Love said, I am as I have always been and forever will be, a mystery of creation. And I was answered. I think I want to hear from you all before I give you the ritual.
Yay, yay. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. We will at this time open the Q&A. If you have a question to ask Yaya, we are asking that you please ask your question within 60 seconds. We have a very full call tonight, and I'm sure many people will want to ask. So to make as much room for as many people as possible, please be concise and specific in your asking. You may press star 6 to enter the Q&A queue. Star 6. As people enter the queue, I will call you by your name or by the digit of your phone number so that you may ask your question. All right. So, again, please press star 6. And, Yaya, right now I'm just scrolling here to see if anyone has entered the queue yet.
Yes, well, first, thank you so much for sharing through this forum. I'm very grateful for your wisdom and your ability to communicate so beautifully. And second, my question is, how do you suggest that people best be most respectful about crossing into other traditions? And I'm all for being eclectic, but I really try to live and honor the traditions that I'm participating in. And I come more from Celtic and from Native American traditions, and I'm unfamiliar with the traditions of Nigeria that you're speaking with. How can I be most respectful about reaching out to Ocean?
Can you hear me? There are different levels of honoring the orishas or, you know, any spirit. There is what they call in Brazil functioning at the encantado level. That is one who is enchanted by a particular deity. That would mean that you could have an altar for that deity in your home, that you could do prayers and you could make offerings and petitions, but you could not call yourself a priestess of that particular goddess, and you would not attempt to minister to other people as a priestess of that goddess, but to relate to that energy as an individual thing. To move beyond that is all about finding the right teacher and finding out what level beyond that your ancestors would approve of you going. But there are many, many, I would say to you, if there are any Orisha worshipers where you live, see if there's a public event for Orisha that you can attend. Find out from people there if there are any Ilays that welcome people from other tradition. When I had my house in Oakland, we had specific ceremonies where, you know, everybody was invited, Christians, Muslims, you know, Jews, Buddhists, everybody, so that we could see the universality in what spirituality is. But many, many people are attracted to Oshun. In Jambalaya, I do lay out what a person who is functioning at the Encantado level could put on an altar and what kinds of rituals they could do. But I'm thanking you for your question, because it's informing what I will put in the next edition of the book. I will make that clearer this time.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Again, press star 6, please, to ask your question. The line is open. Yeah, yeah. At this time, there are no additional calls.
Wow.
No additional views. Yeah. Wait,
okay.
Wait. Somebody just, right? Here they go. Here they come now.
Okay.
All right. Opening up the line for Amber.
Yes, hello. I was just unclear about what to end with when you are asking for something.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Yeah, make your petition very, very clear, and especially people, if you are offering Oshun some honey, be sure to put your finger in the honey and taste it yourself first so that she knows you're not. It's not polluted honey. But you lay out very, very clearly what it is you are praying for and what you're willing to do to manifest it. And then you always say to her, this or something better according to your wise judgment, Oshun, you know. It's really wise to talk to her like that because, you know, we've been trained not to ask for high quality stuff. And if I can just take a minute, I'm thinking of a day back in the 70s when I was very broke. I was, you know, living in my sister's attic. It was really bad news. I just had a miscarriage. No bank, no money in the bank, blah, 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 blah. And I cried out to Oshun and said, you know, I'm dragging around like an old rag. I don't want to live like this. Mommy, I got to do something. I must have said that at 10 o'clock in the morning. By 1 o'clock, somebody came by and brought me a dress, a silk dress, full length, a zip up the front, amazing thing, right? Another hour or so passed, somebody came by and told me they had just bought some new shoes that they realized didn't fit them and thought it was my style. And then somebody else came by and said that he had a date to go to this house in Russian Hill to talk to a producer, and he didn't have anybody to accompany him, and would I accompany him? Before the night was out, I was in a beautiful dress from the 40s, wearing a new pair of shoes, laying on a couch on the fourth floor of a mansion with a glass of champagne in my hand, and the leader of the band that was playing said, this next number is for the beautiful lady on the divan. Now, I went from Raggedy Ann to the queen at the top of the tower in a matter of 7 or 8 hours, you know. And Oshun will do that kind of thing with you to the point where, you know, you just wonder, am I going to turn into a pumpkin at midnight, or how is this happening? What is going on here? But she is the mistress of enchantment. So that's why I always say, this or something better according to your judgment, because she can enchant people in ways that I can't.
Okay, thank you for that. Our next line is Jason.
Shah Alafia Ani.
Shalafiani.
Yeah, Tish, you already answered my question with I had the same question as the lady before
okay.
me.
Yes. Yeah, it's real important. It's real important to to make room, you know, for her to add her addition to it. You know, so there's something I do. I am being told to explain to you all. You know, when I was talking earlier about this this unexplained attraction that you sometimes have to people, one of the things that I started thinking about, you know, it's like somebody is sitting alone at their house with nobody and nothing to do, and that person calls out to love like I did. Love cried out. You know, they just say, oh, my God, I wish something wonderful would happen. And what it seems to me, I actually wrote an article about this called Eye the Vulture years ago. It seems to me that what happens sometimes is Oshun will look around and she'll say, somebody called on me. They need something from me. How interesting. Now, let me see. Where are my servants? Oh, there's Tish. Let me pick her up and put her over here. And all of a sudden, there's somebody, you know, I'm meeting somebody and we're talking and I become very, very attracted to them and very, very concerned about their welfare and find out that I'm connected to all these resources that they need, and it goes on and on and on. And one day their problem is solved and we look at each other and kind of go, do I know you? See, that's the tricky thing. That's the tricky thing that you have to watch for. That's the tricky thing that you have to watch out for when she's doing her attraction thing. You can become enchanted with people, with ideas, with places, with beautiful things, with, you know. So just watch her enchantment. Watch it.
Okay, yay. At this time, you let us know. How would you like to proceed?
Well, I think that we're out of time, and I just wanted to say to people, if you can get to a stream of fresh water, a tributary, a nice stream, a part of the river that is clean, and you can go down there with a jar of honey, with, you know, five oranges or five nice pieces of fruit, and you can sit there, put your finger in the honey and taste it, pour that honey into the river, yeah. Leave that offering there and fill that, once the honey is out of the jar, fill that jar with the river water and take it home, okay? Take it home. And if you're feeling melancholy, if you feel unattractive, if you feel that your creativity has left you, any of those things, you know, you can keep that water on your altar and just put your hand in it and touch your third eye, touch the top of your head, and touch the back of your neck, and then sit quietly and allow Oshun to be your muse. Listen and create something wonderful. Now, you know, there's also a head cleansing in Jambalaya. I believe that's also in chapter 9. But this is a very, very small version of the river bath. When we have the time and the space and the property, it is very, very good to take a bath in the river, to let your concerns go downstream, to refresh yourself in her waters, but always give her an offering. Give her an offering of honey, of oranges, of coins, of of all kinds of beautiful things, but most especially, give her an offering of your heart. Don't ever approach Oshun with phony emotion. Don't ever do that. Go to her genuine, go to her honest, even if you got to go and say, well, yeah, I ain't got no idea what I want to do, but could you help me out? Could you tell me? I intend to do better, you know? That's just a small way to address Oshun. And what is very, very important, too, is when she blesses you, you bless somebody else. When she blesses you, you bless somebody else. One of the instructions that was given to me is that I'm always supposed to accept gifts that people bring to me. And there have been times when somebody brought something and I look at it and I knew that this was brought to me to pass along to somebody else. If you learn to think of yourself as being one of the part of her affluence, to be affluent means to move like water, you see. And so there's the money pouring ritual, which is to be done on the new moon. It's in Jambalaya. That is a wonderful way to keep affluence going. There's the yellow bath in Jambalaya, which is for attraction. You can keep silk and honey flowing in your life by doing rituals for Oshun on a regular basis. Always, always respect the flow of the river. Thank you for being with me tonight. Thank you for being yourself. Thank you for respecting Oshun.
Ashe, yay, thank you. On behalf of all of our listeners tonight, I know that hearts are open, minds are open, spirits are soaring, because you are just so generous in your wisdom. You're so generous in your gifts and your talents, and it's a blessing to us to learn from you. Yeye has shared tonight and referenced several times her book, Jambalaya. At the onset of our call, I did share that we would be sharing with you a special opportunity to go further and to deepen your learning and your understanding of silk and honey and the goddess Orisha Oshun and all of the great wisdom and the Ashe that Yeye has to share through her online course. If you have access now to a computer, I want to invite you to visit Yeye's website. It is yeyeluisateach.com. And when you go to yeyeluisateach.com, at the home page, there is the place where you signed up tonight to listen to tonight's call, the master class that you are attending. Importantly, if you for some way maybe came through the back door, and you, of course, are welcome, but you did not sign up, we're asking that you complete this form, because in completing this online form, that is the way that you join Yeye's email contact list. So you will receive priority notice of all of her master classes, her courses, her retreats, her workshops, just good news that she has to share. And then we will be sending a replay of tonight's call out on Saturday so you have listening access. The other thing we want you to know is that this wonderful class, The Spirit of Jambalaya, if you click on the link, The Spirit of Jambalaya, you will see there Yeye's online course. The Spirit of Jambalaya Work Series is a 9-week course that goes into ancient wisdom and practical rituals that are inspired by Yeye's classical text, Jambalaya. There has been an overwhelmingly positive response. We have many people from around the country, students of Yeye's, that have signed up for this course. And we are extending this opportunity. Yaya feels and knows that there are other people who want to have this opportunity to study with her. If you are feeling drawn, if you're feeling the allure, the attraction, the chemistry of Oshun that's calling you to sit at the feet of Yaya Teach, and I say that with great honor and all due respect because I, too, am her student, this is an opportunity that you do not want to miss. Just take the time. Please visit this webpage. The opportunity for registration has been extended until this Friday, May 6th at midnight. That means you will be joining the course in week 3. Weeks 1 and weeks 2 have been recorded, as is every week. Therefore, you'll have the opportunity to replay and go back and catch up. There are many great things with this course. You will have the opportunity of a Facebook group that is extending the teaching opportunities. Yaya is engaging with her students on Facebook, answering all the many questions that you have, providing that direct insight and wisdom and counsel into your path. Also, the other bonuses that you will enjoy when you register is attending a live spiritual gathering with Yaya in New Orleans, Louisiana. This is a ritual for the summer solstice that will be happening during the month of June. When you register for the Spirit of Jambalaya Work Series, that's another bonus you have. Furthermore, the master classes that Yaya is teaching, not only do you get listening access, but you get the actual downloadable recordings. So all of this is wisdom that will inspire your journey in this lifetime, for your children, for your loved ones, for your community, for years and years to come. So if you have any questions about the Spirit of Jambalaya Work Series, I invite you to reach out to me and Yaya at yayaluisateach@gmail.com. We're happy to answer your questions regarding registering. But right now, the link is active, it is live, and it's working, and you will find that there's the opportunity to register either as a full-pay student or as a 3-pay option. Importantly, we just want to make this accessible to you to minimize the barriers, to open the way, to open the door for students to come and to learn and to grow. This is a transformational learning experience, I promise you. Even in the 2 short weeks that we've begun, in 9 weeks, your life will have grown. You will have developed, and it will look different because your mind, your consciousness will have been elevated. So it's all here at Yaya's website. Yaya Teach?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am. Do you want to add anything about your great course?
Well, I think that people should know, as was evidenced tonight, that I am working on the 30th anniversary sequel to Jambalaya, and your participation here and your questions makes it clear to me, it informs what is going to evolve in the new book. For example, the question tonight about different levels of how to approach Orisha respectfully, I now realize that the one paragraph where I explained that is that needs to be extended so that information is clear to people. The new book will contain some of the material from the original book, but its main purpose is to catch up on what has been happening in the 30 years since Jambalaya was first published. And with the new book, it is my intention to also create a workbook, because that's something that people have asked for over the years, is something with maybe tear-out sheets that people can sit with the book and work through certain things, write prayers and invocations and learn songs and so on. So know that in addition to your learning, you are helping me to evolve the next round of Jambalaya teachings.
Very, very good. Well, thank you, Yeye, for, again, just for who you are. Thank you for being, I mean it. Thank you for being a living legend, a blessing. Thank you for being about your purpose. One of the things, Ashe, yes, ma'am. One of the things that as I look upon your life and I am continuously inspired and just so appreciative of the opportunity to be your student and know you, you are that embodiment and that example of a life well lived.
Ashe.
Ashe, oh, I mean, just fully lived and fully expressed, unapologetically, boldly, stepping into your power. And so thank you for who you are to all of us. We are going to say goodnight. Thank you all for coming and joining. Please stay posted and connect with Yeye Teach at her Facebook page. It is Yeye Louisa Teach, the public figure Facebook page. Lots of juicy, wonderful deliciousness there. And we look forward to joining you and connecting with you in another opportunity. Yeye, have the final words, please.
Odabo! Have a good night. Enjoy your life. Bye-bye.